Lesson 115, 2 Corinthians chapters 6 and 7. Introduction. Paul continued to defend to the Corinthian saints his conduct as a minister of God. He exhorted the saints to separate themselves from all unrighteousness. He affirmed his devotion to the saints and rejoiced that they had experienced godly sorrow and repented of their sins. Note, pacing. Occasionally you will not have enough time to use all the teaching suggestions in the manual. You may need to adapt portions of the lesson by briefly summarizing a group of verses or by guiding students to quickly identify a principle or doctrine before moving on to the next group of verses. Seek the direction of the Spirit and prayerfully consider students' needs as you determine which portions of the scripture block to emphasize. Suggestions for teaching. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 3. Paul describes characteristics of ministers of God. Invite students to consider the following scenario. While you and some others of your ward or branch are doing a service project, some people pass by and make rude remarks about the church. What might happen if you or others in your group respond with rudeness? Ask students to think of times when they may have experienced opposition or ridicule while they were serving the Lord. Invite students to look for a truth as they study 2 Corinthians 6, 1-13 that can guide them during such times. Summarize 2 Corinthians 6, 1-2 by explaining that Paul referred to himself and his fellow laborers as workers together with Christ. See Joseph Smith translation, 2 Corinthians 6:1, footnote B. Paul cited the prophet Isaiah's words, see Isaiah 49:8, to emphasize that the time had come for the saints to consider their salvation. Invite a student to read 2 Corinthians 6, verses 3 through 7 aloud. Ask half the class to look for words or phrases that describe the opposition Paul and his fellow ministers experienced. Ask the other half to look for words or phrases that describe how Paul and his fellow ministers reacted to the opposition. What kinds of opposition did Paul and his fellow ministers experience? What words or phrases describe how they reacted to the opposition? Review verse 3 and explain that the word ministry refers to the work of the church. How might the actions of church members today affect others' opinions about the church? How would you summarize Paul's teachings in verses 3 through 7 as a principle? Students should identify a principle similar to the following. As we respond to opposition with love, kindness, and righteousness, we can help others view the church in a positive way. Remind students of the scenario presented at the beginning of the lesson. Invite them to explain how a person could respond to a situation in a righteous way and what results could come from doing so. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Paul counsels the saints to come out from among the wicked. Divide students into pairs and provide each student with a copy of the accompanying handout. Please refer to the handout on the bottom of page 397 of lesson 115. Invite students to read 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18 in pairs. Ask one student in each pair to look for Paul's counsel to the saints. Ask the other student to look for the promises from the Lord that would be fulfilled if the saints heeded Paul's counsel. Invite them to use what they find to complete the chart together. You may need to explain that the word concord means harmony. Belial refers to wickedness. See Bible Dictionary Belial. And infidel refers to an unbeliever or one who believes in gods other than Heavenly Father. Additionally, Paul had previously compared the Corinthian saints to God's temple. Thus, the word temple in verse 16 refers to them as a people. Allow sufficient time for the pairs to report their findings to one another and complete the chart. Explain that Paul was specifically warning the saints to separate themselves from unclean things. See verse 17. Including idolatry and those who practiced it, in order to protect themselves from sin, Idolatry is to love or worship any man-made creation more than God. Invite students to write "if" above the heading "Counsel to the Saints" and "then" above the heading "Promises from the Lord" on their handouts. What principles can we learn from 2 Corinthians 6, 14-18? Students may identify several principles, but be sure to emphasize that as we separate ourselves from false practices and unclean things, the Lord will receive us. What might be some examples of false practices or unclean things in our day? How can we separate ourselves from these things and those who promote them? Explain that this principle does not mean that we treat those with different beliefs rudely or refuse to associate with them, but that we respectfully reaffirm our beliefs and avoid participating in any activity that would lead us to sin. What do you think it means that the Lord will receive us? See 2 Corinthians 6:17. Invite students to ponder a time when they felt the Lord was with them as they separated themselves from false practices that could have led them away from the Lord. Ask a few students to share their experiences. Invite students to ponder what they may need to do in order to separate themselves from false practices and unclean things so they can receive the Lord's blessings. 2 Corinthians 7. Paul rejoices in the saints' true repentance. Invite a student to read aloud the following scenario. In an interview for a temple recommend for marriage, a young woman confesses some past sins to her bishop. After further discussion, the bishop comes to understand that the young woman has not truly repented of her sins, and that her sins are serious enough to make her unworthy for a temple recommend. The bishop explains that the young woman will have to wait to receive a recommend until she has fully repented. She is alarmed, claiming she has repented because she hasn't repeated any of those sins for a long time. The bishop explains that merely stopping the sin is not complete repentance, and he invites her to sincerely begin the process of true repentance. What do you think the young woman might be feeling at this point in the interview? Invite the student to continue reading the scenario aloud. The young woman explains to her bishop that she is very upset because the invitations to the wedding and reception have already been sent out. She says that she could not face all the questions and the embarrassment of a delay in her wedding plans. She asks whether there is a way for her to be sealed in the temple as planned and then work through the repentance process later. Based on the young woman's response to the bishop, what does she seem to be most concerned about? Invite students to look for a truth as they study 2 Corinthians 7 that the young woman in the scenario needs to understand before she can truly repent of her sins. Summarize 2 Corinthians 7, 1-7 by explaining that Paul continued his defense against those who sought to discredit him and assured the Corinthian saints that he had not wronged anyone. Invite a student to read 2 Corinthians 7, 8-9 aloud. Ask the class to follow along, looking for how one of Paul's earlier letters had affected the Corinthian saints. How had the letter affected the saints? Why did Paul rejoice in their sorrow? Ask students to read 2 Corinthians 7, 10-11 silently. You may want to suggest that they mark the two types of sorrow Paul mentioned and what each leads to. What are the two types of sorrow Paul mentioned? Write the headings "Godly Sorrow" and "Worldly Sorrow" on the board. Invite a student to read aloud the following statement by President Ezra Taft Benson, who explained the meaning of the term "worldly sorrow." Quote, "It is not uncommon to find men and women in the world who feel remorse for the things they do wrong. Sometimes this is because their actions cause them or loved ones great sorrow and misery. Sometimes their sorrow is caused because they are caught and punished for their actions. Such worldly feelings do not constitute godly sorrow." End quote. From Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Ezra Taft Benson, page 82. How would you summarize what worldly sorrow is? According to verse 10, what can worldly sorrow lead to? Explain that the word death in verse 10 refers to spiritual death, meaning separation from God. Under the heading worldly sorrow on the board, write the following truth. Worldly sorrow can lead us to spiritual death, or separation from God. In what ways can worldly sorrow lead a person to spiritual death? It can prevent a person from truly repenting and receiving Heavenly Father's forgiveness. According to verse 10, what does godly sorrow lead to? Under the heading godly sorrow on the board, write the following truth. Godly sorrow leads us to repent of our sins and receive salvation. To help students better understand why godly sorrow leads us to repentance, invite a student to read aloud the following statement by President Ezra Taft Benson. Quote, "Godly sorrow is a gift of the Spirit. It is a deep realization that our actions have offended our Father and our God. It is the sharp and keen awareness that our behavior caused the Savior, He who knew no sin, even the greatest of all, to endure agony and suffering. Our sins caused Him to bleed at every pore. This very real mental and spiritual anguish is what the Scriptures refer to as having a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Such a spirit is the absolute prerequisite for true repentance." End quote. Again from Teachings, Ezra Taft Benson, page 83. Why do you think godly sorrow leads us to truly repent of our sins? Invite students to reflect on the scenario concerning the young woman seeking a temple recommend. What about the young woman's interview with the bishop indicates that she has not experienced godly sorrow? What can we do to replace worldly sorrow with godly sorrow? If necessary, help students understand that the feelings of godly sorrow we experience as we repent may vary depending on the seriousness of the sin. Testify that as we feel godly sorrow rather than worldly sorrow for our sins, we will be able to truly repent, be cleansed of our sins, and ultimately receive salvation. Invite students to seek godly sorrow in their efforts to repent. Summarize 2 Corinthians 7, 12-16 by explaining that Paul expressed his care for and confidence in the saints. Briefly review the truths students identified in their study of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7, and encourage them to follow any promptings they may have felt to apply these truths.